And what an incredible story this hour. We're talking with Kevin Malarkey, the father of the boy who came back from heaven. And we'll take your calls with Kevin and more of this incredible story when we come back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. We'll take your calls in just a moment with Kevin Malarkey, author of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. The website is the same, linked up at coasttocoastam.com. What's the main message, Kevin, that you would like people to take with them whenever they read this incredible story?
Well, believe it or not, the main message I want them to take from the story isn't necessarily heaven itself. It is that there's a God in heaven, and the God that made heaven, and that he's near. If one of the things you'll see when you read our book, he's intricately involved in our lives, and there's just so many things in our story that just can't be coincidence, and that God is real. I believe, you know, we need to have a relationship with him so that we can go to heaven. And so I want people to have hope, but to have hope in a God, not just that things will turn themselves around, things, you know, the sun will come up tomorrow, but there's a God in heaven. He sent his son to die for us. And if we'll accept his offer, that we can go to this heaven that we write about.
How is Alex acting now?
Well, like a pretty normal 12-year-old. I'm laughing because he's feisty.
Is he?
Yeah, he likes to pick a fight. You know, just an argument, an intellectual argument. He likes to. He has infrared on his wheelchair now, and some kids. His brother was playing some video games. He drives himself over with his chin, points his chair, and turns off the television. That's Alex. You know, he loves to read. My wife turns the pages for him, and he'll read a book in a day or two.
That's phenomenal.
He really loves sports. He's excited about his Buckeyes right now, number one seed in the tournament.
They could go all the way. Actually, I am picking them to win the NCAA all the way.
There you go. There we go. Now, he's also a Steelers fan, so he didn't have a very good day on that particular day. But he loves his sports. I think the other thing that's great, another great message from our book is we don't feel sorry for Alex, and Alex doesn't feel sorry for Alex.
Has he come back with any kind of special intuitive powers or anything like that?
Yes, he has. He seems to have a great deal of insight for a young boy. I had a conversation with him one time, and I had asked him, "Would you pray about this for me?" And he said, "Well, have you prayed?" I'm like, "Yeah." He said, "Well, are you doing what God said to do?" And I'm like, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, what do you want from me, a pat on the back?" And I'm like, "No, but just next time you pray. You know, I think prayer is good." And he said, "I'm always in prayer." I said, "I know, so next time you pray." We kind of did that who's done first thing. And I'm not making this up, George. He looks at me and he says, "Daddy, my brain through the Holy Spirit is in constant communication with God. My mouth is for talking to people."
That's great.
And I'm still trying to understand that one. But I mean, that's the kind of insight. And I have to say, a couple times, there's a story in our book of a woman who came over, and he asked to speak to her, and he said, "I need to talk to you." And she said, "Okay." And he said, "I need you to read, I believe it was Deuteronomy 17. It was 17, 18, 19, right there at the end of Deuteronomy. And she said, "Okay, Alex, I will." And she started to walk away. And he said, "No, your son is going to be coming back." Well, we didn't know that she had another son other than the ones living with her.
Right.
It turns out that she does have another son. She went and looked up the passage, and the passage was about the Levites. Her son's name is Levi, and he moved back in 2 weeks later.
Jeez.
And I like what my dad said about it. He said, "I don't know what's worse." He said, "Either Alex knows what's going on, or he knows what's in Deuteronomy. I find both disturbing."
Is he subject at all to nightmares?
No.
None?
No. He does, though, I have to say, and we talk about it in the book, he's saw demons. He's seen the devil, and he finds it pretty scary. But one of the things that's pretty neat, the Bible says that if you tell the devil to flee, he will. And we pray, and I'll say, "Alex, did he go?" And he'll look at me, and he said, "Did we pray?"
Kevin, let me ask you this. I mean, because you are very spiritual.
Yes.
There's a group out there very devout Christians. They believe May 21st will be Judgment Day. That'll be the end of the world, that some will be taken, many will not. Ironically, they said that it would all start with a earth-changing earthquake. And look what we had. But when you hear things like that, based on your experience with Alex, what do you think?
I think the Bible says that no man shall know when that day will come, so I don't think that anybody does know.
Well, that's what I thought.
I think that, you know, the Bible speaks of a lot of things. I'm no expert on Revelation, but, I mean, you go through, and it talks about wars, it talks about earthquakes, it talks about, obviously, there's things happening in the Middle East. I don't claim to understand them, but the Bible clearly says that no one's going to know. So anyone that says they know, I'm like, but you don't.
And do you think children like Alex would be saved, would be brought back if they were going to be taken or if it was going to be the end? I don't think so.
Well, I think that I do think in the end times that there's going to be a lot of evil, but there's also going to be a lot of the Lord's work going on as well. And I think it's going to be a battle till the end. And I plan on being a part of it, and I believe Alex does as well.
All right, let's go to the phones. We'll go west of the Rockies to start. Jim is in El Paso, Texas. Hey, Jim, go ahead.
Hi there.
Hi.
I just, first off, you know, would like to say that I find this story very, very fascinating. And also, I've been a long-time listener.
Well, thank you.
First time in, and I'm very happy to be doing this. I guess the first question, you know, I really would have would be, is there ever a thought that maybe it's not a heaven and hell thing and it's more like a different dimension? And instead of it being a God and devil thing, maybe it could be seeing into another dimension that we can't see in our state, you know, our current form.
Well, I think it is another dimension, but Alex is pretty clear about that it's heaven and that there's God and that there's a devil. And that's the way that we believe it. And that's what we think is true. But I think where I would agree with you, I think it is another dimension. I think it exists outside of time as we know it. And I think it is definitely a place that we don't normally have access to.
Kevin, though he said he wanted to stay because he was comfortable there, how did he come back? I mean, was it like, you know, God and the angels said, you got to go back, Alex, you got to go back? Or how did that finally happen?
It's a great question. I'm thinking, do I even know the answer? I think he didn't really talk about how he came back. He just said that he talked to God, and God said he had to go back, and he came back.
And there he was.
Yeah. I don't think you argue with God.
No.
I think it's kind of his way, and that's what you're doing. I thought what was so neat about it, the authenticity of it, of addressing as a, am I okay with you, Dad, since this happened? There was no kind of, let me tell you this spectacular thing. He was more worried about being in trouble or hurting my feelings.
Isn't that amazing?
That, again, when you talk about the authenticity, that's what really got me, was the matter of factness. And just, there was another time when we never prodded him for information. Most of this stuff came out over a long period of time. Another reason why we didn't write it for a while probably is this. We found out more and more as years went by. We never really sat down to draw it out of him. Just comments would happen. And another one that occurred one time, he asked me a question. Or no, he told me something that happened in heaven. And I asked him a pretty logical follow-up. And he looks at me, he says, Daddy, I don't want you to be mad at me. And I said, why? He said, well, you know how you taught me that God's my heavenly father and you're my earthly father? And I said, yeah. He said, well, my heavenly father told me I'm not supposed to share that. Am I in trouble?
Jeez.
And I said, Alex, if we haven't yet discussed it, the heavenly one's above the earthly one. Do what he says. But just again, that it would be put in that context of just worried about being in trouble or hurting my feelings again. It just lends itself to just this very believable boy.
Was he, after he came out of his coma, was he in any pain or agony as he tried to heal himself?
No, one of the strange benefits of his situation is he doesn't feel anything below his neck. And so he doesn't have any physical pain unless it happens above his neck. I did give him some once when I tried to pull his tooth out, and I couldn't get it on about 10 yanks. But now he doesn't feel physical pain.
Does he have any movement at all below his neck?
He moves his head.
That's it.
He moves it to the right and to the left and up and down a little bit. he can't hold it up on his own. He has to have something behind it right now. Or he can lean forward and hold it for, you know, maybe 30 seconds. But you know what? He doesn't have emotional pain either. One time I asked him, I said, hey, do you ever feel bad? And I kid you not, he looked at me and he said, about what?
Yeah, about what?
And I'm like, okay, do I now create the category for him or I just move on?
Yeah.
And he was laying there in his bed, breathing on a ventilator, and I kind of pointed at him and I said, well, you know, this stuff. And he said, Daddy, the Lord God knew that I would be this way before he made the earth. I'll be this way for a short time. It's not that big a deal.
What a remarkable little kid.
Yeah. I mean, I hear these things and I repeat them and they're just as amazing to me each time.
Now, where is he as we speak?
Right now?
Yeah.
He's asleep.
He's asleep.
Yeah. It's 2:20 in the morning in Ohio.
Yeah, so it sure
he better be asleep.
No, he's listening on a little CC radio, listening to the show.
It wouldn't shock me if he tried to pull it off.
Let's go to Ann in Seattle, Washington. First time caller. Hi, Ann. Thank you.
Oh, hi, George. Yeah, this is a great story. This just goes hand in hand with what's going on, you know, in the world right now. And that 2011 thing they're talking about with the, you know, end of the world stuff. Like everybody's saying, oh, you can't believe it. You don't know the day or the hour. But we do know the season, and we are in that season. It might not be that day, May 21st, 2011, but it could be 2011 or 2012, and it's very soon. And this dear child just came to us right now just to tell us to wake up. And you should believe him because he's pure and innocent, and that's how God wants us all to go to the Lord like that. Pure and innocent and believing and trusting and obeying and not questioning. Just do what the kid did like that. Believe him, you know?
Absolutely.
And reverential fear of the Lord out there. That's a wake-up call for this father and son right here. We need more fathers like that for the kids right now to come out in the world and take care of their boys out there. That's why all the kids are in trouble in this world right now, prisons and everything else. He's sticking with his son right now. This wasn't an accident, none of this.
No, he's a great father. What are the siblings doing now with the brother?
Well, they have a great relationship. We have a DVD that was made to go along with the book, and my favorite part of the whole DVD, it's an hour-long DVD, they're interviewing my son, Aaron, who I think was probably 9 at the time, maybe he had turned 10, and they were asking him questions about Alex, and he was just like, well, I play with him, I'm kind of the hands, he's the brain, we play this, we play Army, we play video games, we do that, and then at the end he just said, he's just my best buddy, and I bust a tear every time I watch it, because again, you just see, he's just their brother.
Yeah.
As far as that's their normal. My son Ryan was a couple days old the day of the accident. He grew up in the ICU at the hospital. That's normal to him.
Do you homeschool the brother?
Or we homeschool all four of us.
All of them. Okay.
All four of them.
So they're together quite a bit then.
Yeah, they're together. And you know, they fight just like everyone else. One of the things that we try to do is I mean, it may sound odd, but we treat Alex the same as everybody else to the best of our ability. You know, he sang a solo in the church choir a year or so ago, but the choir was all around him, you know, and I think that for them, they know their brother, has been to heaven. They know that he's not really like other people, but they're referring more to his spiritual life than his physical life. But another great thing, they talk about, like just 2 days ago, his brother Aaron said, man, when you move, we got to go do that. But it was matter of fact. It was no, you know, big statement. Or one of my other favorites, Ryan is our 6-year-old, and he had flicked Alex in the forehead with his finger, and Alex didn't like that at all, but he couldn't do a lot about it.
There's not much you could do, right?
He looked at me and he goes, when I move, I'm going to get you. But I love it's just when. It's assumed that that will happen. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
And I think, believe it or not, it's all fairly normal to them.
I think so. And you want me to pursue the stem cell thing for you?
I'd be happy to look at it.
Okay. Yeah, that's what it'll come down to. You know, you make a decision based on looking at that. And, you know, the doctor in Portugal may want to see some x-rays and things like that. And if you can provide that to him, he'll get back to you guys pretty quickly and let you know what, if anything, he thinks he can do.
Okay.
Let's go next. Let's go to east of the Rockies. We've got Jackie in New Waterford, Ohio. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. You're on with Kevin.
Thanks for taking my call. I love your show.
Thank you.
I wanted to share a story with you and Kevin. And first of all, I wanted to tell Kevin that he's doing an awesome job raising his son. I wish there were more young people that had the just the goodness in them and in their heart, like his son seems to have. Yeah. And he obviously gets it from his dad, mom and dad. But I wanted to share a story with you all. I do believe in angels also. I believe they exist. I'm not afraid to die now like I used to be. I was involved also in a car accident. It'll be 3 years ago in a construction zone here in Ohio, about a mile from my house. I was stopped in the traffic. I was the first vehicle stopped. And a guy, I looked behind me. There was nobody there. And next thing you know, I had 1 second warning to actually brace myself in the vehicle before being hit by somebody that was driving an old Buick. It was like being hit with a semi with that thing. He hit me going an estimated 70 miles per hour, rolling me in a Jeep Cherokee because he was late for work and he was reaching for a cell phone. At the time of impact, the really strange thing, I mean, I was so terrified thinking, oh, my gosh, what's my family going to think? I may not make it home tonight. You know, this and that. That's what goes through your mind. Oh, my gosh, you know.
You're more worried about them.
Yeah. And the thing that happened was I had this calming voice at impact just tell me, you're going to be okay. And it was the strangest thing. I felt so calm instantly, and I was actually able to crawl out of the Jeep. It was leaking gas. You could smell the gas. I had a truck driver had stopped. He had seen the whole thing. He was trying to help me get out of the vehicle, and I was able to walk away from it.
Where do you think that calming voice came from?
I swear that it had to be a guardian angel because it was just the strangest thing. I mean, you never think of anything like that's going to happen. And yes, I was raised to believe in guardian angels, but now I definitely believe in them because it's such a terrifying moment. I mean, this guy was completely out of control when he hit me. There were pieces of my vehicle. I was in a Cherokee. There were pieces of it all over the road.
There should have been pieces of you there.
Yeah, you know, they said.
You lucked out, Jack.
Yeah, if I didn't have my seatbelt on, which I always say, buckle up, everybody, because it does save lives. I was hurting from being hit so hard in the chest area, but I was alive. I was able to walk away from it. And I just wanted to share my story because I truly believe, you know, there are angels out there that are looking out for us and that, you know, all of us are in for a wonderful surprise in the afterlife. And I always say, you know what, it's not passing away or it's not dying. It's a transition from this life into another.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Kevin Malarkey, our special guest. We're going to come back in just a moment and take final phone calls with him. A split show tonight. Dr. J. Marvin Herndon joins me later as we talk about the Earth's core and what's going on there. Is that responsible for some of these incredible Earth changes? We'll be back in a moment with final calls on Coast to Coast AM. Well, besides the harp music that he didn't like, Kevin, what did he say about heaven? How did he describe it?
Well, he talked about a lot about the throne of God. He said that he saw the throne of God, and he described the angels flying around it that had the six wings. Again, he had his what we call his Alex take on it. We were in church one day, and the pastor was reading that passage, which Alex hadn't read, and he started trying to get my attention. I said, what? He goes, I saw that. I said, saw what? He goes, the throne of God. And the pastor had read about these six wings. He goes, I thought those top two were masks. Well, the Bible says that the top two wings cover your face.
That's funny.
And I just love the way he interacts, you know, with by telling you exactly what the Bible says, but in his own words, kind of his own take.
Did he talk about the guardian angels?
He talks about a lot of different kinds of angels, believe it or not. Angels that guard the gates of heaven. He said there's two inside the one gate, and they're kind of like around the outside of it. He talks about angels that do more comforting and hanging out with people. I've never heard him use the words guardian angel, but I mentioned the angel John that took me out of the car was one of them. And there was another experience where Alex said, yeah, he follows you around a lot. And so that's the closest he's come to saying anything along those lines.
Okay, let's go on to our next caller, Tracy in Olean, New York. Welcome to the show. Hi, Tracy.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
And hello, Kevin. It just struck me so funny. Well, not funny, I don't know, strange, whatever. Back in the late 70s, well, probably around 76, I was like a teenager and babysitting for this little girl of a family that she had had a very serious head injury and was in a coma for like 3 months. And these people were not, I would not say religious. They did not go to church or anything like that at all. But when this little girl came out of the coma, she told them that she had been in heaven and she had walked with Jesus. And she liked it there, but he told her that he was going to send her back home to her mommy and her daddy. And it just floored all of us.
I bet it would.
Yes, very. You know, that a little girl would say this, especially one that had not been in any, you know, real contact or anything with anything like Christian or religious or anything. And I tell you, it turned a lot of lives around. I'll tell you that right now, you know, because she said she saw angels, she saw Jesus, and he said no, he was sending her back to her mommy and her daddy. And we're like, how could a child make that up? You know, why would a child say something like that if it wasn't true, if they had not seriously seen that?
Well, Kevin, you know, she's right. When you get so many people describing the same thing, you then have to start concluding that maybe that's what's going on.
Yeah, I don't think stories like that are. I mean, yeah, he had an injury that was pretty unusual. But I don't think stories like ours in terms of angels and heaven are really that unusual. I just think people don't talk about them that much.
And it skews kids, adults, everybody, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, it's like so many things. Via media or culture kind of determines the topics for debate. And the spiritual ones tend not to make the cut, or they get deleted. I mean, I can tell you when the local paper, when we had the surgery, and they asked us, you know, certain questions, we answered, and every time we mentioned God, it was deleted from the article.
And it was deleted?
It was deleted. The lady who wrote the article apologized the next day.
The editors jumped all over it, didn't they?
Yeah, and she said, look, we're going to do another article today, and I'm going to put it in there, and I just know from me that if they take it out, I put it in. So there you have, you know, a major newspaper going, well, don't mention that God guy. And so I think if people really, you know, yeah, we have freedom of speech, but that doesn't mean that they can't stop others from hearing it. And I think that, yeah, I think that the things of God are everywhere, and I think I've actually been surprised at how few people think I'm nuts, you know?
Well, no, I think more and more people will realize just how sane you are.
Yes. Well, I am, but I still thought, though, that there'd be more people that said, oh, you know, I don't believe it. It's been dramatically in favor of believing this, and that's all over the world from people that don't know us, that have the freedom to say whatever they want to say on the Internet or anywhere else. There's very little of that.
Do you ever take Alex to church? Does he ever talk to people?
Yeah, Alex, I mean, he hasn't been lately because of his health issues, but he was going every week for a while, and he talks to people, and, you know, at our church, he's just one of the people here. But he always inspires people, though, because I tell people he's more of a rock star than a charity case.
Good.
I mean, people kind of gather around him, and they smile, and he's always got a good word for them, or he chases them down in his wheelchair. But he, you know, even adults will go around him and just try to get some positive inspiration.
Is he a happy 12-year-old?
He's the happiest person I know.
What do you think his favorite season is?
Football.
He loves football, huh?
Yeah, I think football's his favorite season. That is a season, right?
Did he play a little bit when he was six before the accident?
A little bit, just throwing the ball around. He wasn't old enough to play on a team, I don't think. But he kind of lives through his brothers and sister playing sports. He likes to hear about their games. And I think that's the other great thing is it's made him a very others-centered person because he has to be.
Outside of the injuries because of the accident, is he pretty healthy?
I think he's incredibly healthy, really. One of the things we struggle with when you talk about a kid that doesn't breathe on his own and doesn't move, you get some pretty nasty pictures.
Yeah.
But I think anybody that looks at the pictures in our book will see he looks completely normal. He's always smiling, and his smile is wonderful. And as a friend of mine said, when they saw one of the pictures of him, they said, that's just the kind of smile you can't fake. He has an inner joy, an inner peace, and it just radiates.
Hartford, Connecticut's Jim Stern. Hey, Jim, thanks for calling, Jim.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Good.
You know, it's a very inspiring story. And, Kevin, God bless your son, and I hope that the Lord does bring in what he's done for me, because I was in a car accident. I was doing 50 miles an hour, and I fell asleep at the wheel. I had been drinking and backslidden from the Lord, and I hit an island, and I went into the air and landed in a tree, 10 feet up into a tree at 50 miles an hour, and broke my neck. And I was paralyzed from the neck down. They brought me to the Brockton Hospital. And from that hospital, they immediately shipped me to Mass General in Boston because of my neck injury. And on the way, between the ambulance trip from Brockton to Boston Hospital, I felt this warmth come over my body. And the Lord healed my body.
Wow.
He healed my body. I mean, immediately, I got my feeling back, and they had the x-rays. And I know God's real. I know what he did for me. I'm in my truck, George. George, you know me.
I do.
And I'll tell you right now, it doesn't matter if your son isn't healed, but he's going to be an inspiration to help people find Jesus Christ, that he is God. And I'll tell you right now, it's amazing the mercy that he had on me. And I'll tell you, God bless your son. I hope the Lord heals him. But what an incredible story you got. And just
Thank
the attitude
Jim.
that you have is amazing, Kevin. It's an amazing story.
Thank you. Yours sounds pretty amazing, too.
Well, thank you, sir. Listen, have a blessed evening, George. I love you guys.
Okay,
it'll work
Jim.
You with you, okay? Bye-bye.
Sure thing. You do touch a lot of people now, too. Did you realize that?
We're starting to. We get a lot of email and feedback. We have a Facebook page, and you know, obviously the book sales and people talking about it. And it's still, you know, my pastor always says, just tell your story, tell what God did and let God do the rest. And there's a part of me that's still surprised every time that it's helpful to someone. And I kind of hope that doesn't change.
If you could turn the clock back, Kevin, would you? What would you do differently?
I would not undo the accident.
You would not?
No, I would not. I've seen that God has a plan for my son. We'd have to undo all the people that have, you know, come to know God, drawn closer to God. I honestly, George, if I got to go left in front of the car or go straight, there's no way I could go straight.
How often did you kick yourself over this?
About every other minute for a while.
Yeah.
But one of the interesting things that happened, I can remember so many times where I would really be beating myself up, and God wouldn't let me finish the thought. I'm a pretty clear thinker. I couldn't finish my sentence. And my wife was always accepting me, never blamed me for anything. People were praying. And I just believe that prayer is so important, and that not only did it, you know, bring healing to Alex, but it brought a lot of healing to me. And I don't beat myself up anymore.
Did you ever stay in touch with the people that you had the accident with?
Well, believe it or not, they were in the emergency room next to me. And I wanted to go over and talk to them, but I realized that the only thing I wanted them to do was tell me I was okay.
Yeah.
And so I didn't go over. And I have not stayed in touch with them. And mostly because I kind of thought they probably don't want to hear from me, which probably isn't true, but that was my thinking at the time.
They should all be okay now, right?
Yes, yes. They were treated and released that day from the hospital.
I remember the day my son called me when he and his wife and my little not in the, his niece, my little grandchild. She was in the back seat of his car, and somebody in a van cut them off on the freeway in St. Louis and flipped the car, flipped their car, and they were sliding on the passenger's door all the way down the freeway for about two or 300 feet. They came to the stop. The little girl's in the back crying. Jonathan and his wife are facing, you know, you figure he's on the driver's door up, right? Because the car's down on the passenger side of the door. And there was a automatic moonroof that you could crank. It was an old BMW. And they all got out that way. And some guy pulled his car and blocked them from getting hit. Stopped all the cars. And Jonathan got out okay. Everybody was taken to the hospital for a checkup. But when they turned, Kevin, to thank the guy, he was gone.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
And his car was gone.
Yep. Yep.
You know, traffic was all stopped. They all saw him. But when they decided to go thank him, he was gone.
Well, the Bible says that there will be angels among us. And, you know, you hear stories like that. It's amazing.
You wonder if they're coming from another dimension, if they're coming from heaven, if they're coming from another universe. Who knows?
Yeah.
But they're out there, and they pick up on these things.
Hey, I wanted to tell you, too, I know you have some St. Louis connections. There was a wonderful fundraiser for Alex by the Eric Westacott Foundation there in St. Louis.
Really?
Yeah, and we actually came in our van. I cannot remember the name of the golf course. It was just outside St. Louis. It was over by that raceway. And we went to a Cardinals game.
Was that the old stadium, the old Busch Stadium, or the brand new one?
Busch Stadium just a couple years ago.
Okay, it was probably the new one then.
Yeah, and that was a great day for our family. So I just wanted to share that with you because I know you have some.
It's a great town. Did you see the arch?
We did, and we could see the arch from our seats, and that was really cool.
Yeah, it is. It sways when you go up there.
The problem is that we're big Reds fans, but the Cardinals are kind of our second favorite team now, even though they're kind of rivals.
Well, also let
but
you
we
know.
Had a wonderful day in St. Louis, and actually, the Rams cheerleaders came to the golf outing, and we have a picture of Alex with a Rams cheerleader on each side of him. And I told you he has a big smile. It was never much bigger than that.
No, they're great girls.
Yeah,
they really are. They're good people. Okay, let's go to Dobson, North Carolina. Greg's turn. Hey, Greg, welcome to the program.
Good evening, George.
Hi.
Thank you very, very much, Kevin, for this story. It's been a great distraction tonight from the constant preparation and thinking about what's going to happen in the next couple of years. Before I ask my question, George, will you please get Lindsey Williams back on again?
We will. I know he was just on about a month ago, but he will be. He's on the list.
Thank you. Great. Kevin, did your son ever tell you what the devil looked like, what Jesus looked like, and what God looked like?
He has some descriptions of the devil and of demons that are pretty detailed in the book. He said, I asked him one time, I actually tried to trick him. I said, what does God look like? And he said, Daddy, you know that no man will see the face of God or he will die. And that is in the Bible. He talks more about with God being in his presence. And just, it's actually that the peace that the woman on the earlier call described, just the peace, the joy. And he talked about Jesus wearing white robes, I believe, but not like a description of his face.
Was the devil described as we always know him to be? Tail, horns, one of those things?
Well, actually, Alex said that his skin was like mold.
Mold?
Mold, and it was decaying. And he said his hair was made of fire. And, there's one chapter where Alex does a pretty detailed description of what he saw when he saw the devil and also of demons.
Just about anything to scare a little boy, you know?
And here's the thing that's amazing. He has the peace of God, but when he sees that stuff, he's still scared.
Oh, sure. He's still a little kid.
Yeah, and it's real. I mean, I think I would be too.
As grown up as he probably has gotten since this thing happened.
Yeah.
He's still a little kid.
Yeah, and sometimes you kind of forget that because he'll say the most insightful thing, And then his next question, you realize, oh my goodness, he's a boy.
He's a boy, 12 years old, going on 13.
Yes.
Just a boy. Well, the name of the story is The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. It is a great read. It's taken this country by storm. And, you know, our last caller was right. It is coming at a time, I think, Kevin, when people need a diversion, because this is one strange time period in our life, isn't it?
Oh, it's scary. I was listening to just your news stories when I was waiting to come on, and I'm thinking, my goodness.
I know it.
It is. It's a scary world. And, you know, I think, though, that the things of God are true and real. And one of the real benefits of difficult times throughout history is people turn to God.
Well, you give Alex a little hug for us, would you?
I sure will.
And I'll get Kirsten Wild through producer Tom to get a hold of you.
Okay.
And, you know, you guys communicate via email and see what happens.
Well, thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to come on your show.
Okay, Kevin, you take care. The name of the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Next hour, because this is a split show, Dr. J. Marvin Herndon joins us as we talk about Mavericks, Earth, and Universe. We're going to talk about the composition of the planet, what it all means, if it's changing, and maybe it's the reason behind what is happening right now.